Prabhu.
Yes, sir.
Can you introduce everyone so that I can know who they are?
I think one of the temple devotees could do a better introduction. There's so many new faces here. I'm embarrassed.
Tell the people you know.
Brigo, could you?
No, I was saying start with Brigo Prabhu.
Get somebody's name.
I need Bhakta Herman. He's got the list.
Maybe everyone can tell themselves.
My name is Sunil Maharaj.
Very well. Sunil Maharaj.
No, Maharaj. No. So, the fallen of the fallen. No, you are Maharaj. I'm Sunil Das.
I do know this one, Maharaj.
Vijay Das. Vijay Das. He's one of my Shiksha gurus in Bhagavad. I didn't see you there. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you living here now?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
I've been living here for 3 years now.
Nice to see you. She was one of the emblems of surrender in the days, the golden era of New Vrindavan. There's nothing she could not do for Krishna. He had such enthusiasm, such determination and devotion. I would secretly worship her lotus feet. Who else? Do you go to school? What grade?
12.
A senior in high school.
Yeah.
Where do you go? You liked Krishna? Really? Please teach me how to love Krishna. Thank you. Congratulations. Such an effulgent daughter you have been given.
They were all born in the barn.
Born where?
You were born in barn? New Vrindavan barn? That's what I thought. You know Kripa Maya? Kripa Maya and Krishna Bhava? They... Krishna, Kripa Maya's mother, she comes to New Vrindavan a lot. She's a very extraordinary person. She was a professor in Shakespearean literature, but she really likes Krishna consciousness. So her son, now he's Krishna Balaram, but then he was Karna. Do you remember Karna? Do you remember? One time he was at the house and she was there, and he was not cleaning up after himself. So the grandmother said an English expression for someone who's a slob. She said, "You act like you were born in a barn." And he said, "That's because I was." And the grandmother said, "What? What do you mean you were born in a barn?" He said, "No, I was born in the barn here." And then the truth was revealed. But in that era of New Vrindavan, almost every child was born in the barn. Mm. Jesus was kind of born in the barn too, wasn't he? Krishna was born near a barn. go cool. The cow's grace. Very well.
Back there.
Where do you stay?
Island in the city.
In Los Angeles. How long have you been coming to Tartu?
About 10 years.
10 years? I'm calling on everyone.
Thanks, Krishna.
Adina.
Yes. Not only for me, but for everyone else to come out. You're living here?
Adina?
Speak something about yourself, everyone. Where you're living and what you're doing.
I'm living in the ashram there and doing service at Govinda's boutique. I'm trying to serve the deities. And it's really happy to see you.
My name is Ganga Narayan Das. I was originally a brahmachari here in the 70s. I was initiated by Prabhupada, and recently I've been back here for 10 years in this community with Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish. And I'm trying to become Krishna conscious by your association.
This is the one and only famous Ganga Narayan.
Infamous.
Do you know, we were friends before both of us were devotees.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secret story.
Can you tell it?
Well, we just played, we were down in Florida and we...
We were in Florida.
We were hippies down there, right? Heard you say?
I
or is that the wrong word?
It's a broad term. We were living in Florida, southern Florida, a place called Opa-locka. And he was a very, very wonderful musician.
Mm-hmm.
And we would meet many times in so many places. In those days,
we jam.
His name was Lazarus.
As I remember correctly, my hair went out all around like this, and yours
yes.
went straight down.
Yes.
So we were
like
a good
that.
Combination because I had the bowl cut on top, and he had the long hair hanging down. Did we get arrested together? You weren't there when we got thrown in jail?
No, I wasn't there.
Oh. Sorry, I didn't mean to implicate you.
He's remembering the
just for vagrancy.
I don't remember. But I remember one thing, that I never knew he became a devotee. And it was 1979. It was the grand opening of Srila Prabhupada's palace. You remember Vijayamataji? And devotees from all over the world came to celebrate. And you were with Radha Damodar at the time?
Yeah, I believe I was with Radha Damodar.
So on the roof where the restaurant is now, they were serving prasad to everybody on the roof of the back of the palace, and everyone was sitting in lines, and I was sitting because I helped cook, and the servers were coming by and serving everybody, and this particular personality was serving prasad, and he came up to me to serve, and I looked at him and I said, "Lazarus, is that you?" And he kind of looked around. He didn't know it was me that said it. He said, "Who said that?" And I said, "Lazarus, do you remember me?" He said, "My name is not Lazarus. My name is Ganga Narayan Das."
I don't remember that. But
I remember that was the first meeting. The meeting, you were angry at me. So my name is Ganga Narayan Das. I said, "Oh, Betty, I'm pleased to meet you." That was our first meeting after about 10 years.
I'm sorry, I missed that on your association before then.
Krishna protected you.
You mean protected you? You mean?
Here at the temple. It's a beautiful name. Who gave you name?
Makonda Goswami.
Very fortunate. Thank you.
Jamuna Jivana.
Very well.
And I live here, and I work as a secretary.
At that Jewish place.
Yes. At Temple Israel of Hollywood, and I assist two rabbis.
Really? Very well. You can't escape from Krishna in one form or another.
No.
Type of yoga?
Hatha yoga for about 23 years.
Mm. What process? Who is your teacher?
A Bengali, his name is Vikram Chowdhury. And then my guru saved me. More here than there.
And who gave you your nice name? Yes, please.
My name is Sunil Das, and
Sunil Maharaj.
And do I do this a lot? Some people think I'm a pest, but some people enjoy it. I'm putting together a few documentaries, one of New Dwarka coming up this Friday, and also doing a on Sunday, I'm doing another slideshow for Rath Yatra, and the slideshow will be a whole archives of New Dwarka from when Prabhupada first came, and focusing on the Shastradam program, which is the congregational book distribution of Prabhupada's books in many different aspects of the community. And originally, the slideshow started with that as the focus, but it's grown into something so much larger with all activities and people's participation in the community. And just so people could get to see, you know, how the community comes together and with children, family, and the results of Prabhupada teaching us what he has, you know. So this is a little service I get to do to bring awareness to people for, you know, book distribution and this type of. And my name is given to me by a yogi from India. His name is Baba Haridas. Are you familiar with Baba Haridas? He's a silent yogi. He's been silent for about 45 years. He writes on a chalkboard. Mona Sadhu. Very nice Vaishnava of Baba. And just trying to get more involved with the community and with Krishna consciousness and spending a lot of time here.
Thank you.
My name is Marco. I'm from Croatia. I distribute books here at the airport. I'm trying to get mercy at the oldies. I like the service. the mother.
I'm Devaki Nandana Das, disciple of Mukunda Maharaj, and staying here for a few months distributing books before I go back to Australia with my wife, and I'm just going to try to distribute books there, inspire the devotees. Trying to distribute Prabhupada's books.
Remember you were in Bombay with Mukunda Maharaj. Where is Maharaj now?
He's in New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand.
He's writing books still?
Yeah, he's writing his book, Srila Prabhupada Memoirs. So he's been working on that. He's getting close to having most of the photographs and most of the everything he can remember of Srila Prabhupada. And he's already finished the second draft and working on the final copy. So hopefully soon it'll come to light.
We are all eagerly awaiting.
Hi, Ram Raj. My name is Luke. I'm from Sydney, Australia. I'm currently here for 3 months in Los Angeles. So learning some book distribution from a very famous stalwarts here in Los Angeles. And then going back to New Zealand, maybe in December.
Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna. My name is Dhamma Kartadas. I came from Croatia in a couple of weeks to Los Angeles to do some services.
I cannot hear you.
Excuse me?
Speak up.
My name is Shuri Beth. I am from Ukraine. From Kyiv Temple. I'm here and I'm driving.
Very well.
Hi, Wolf. My name is Taylor. Service for the Mantra and Life Membership Office and a singer at some of the temple coverage. I hope to do it.
Thank you.
My name is Karuna and I work at the Girl Corner.
My name is Bhakti Siva. I do service in the Gomida restaurant and also I help with the Shastra Mandala.
My name is Bhakta Ryan. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. And by your mercy, one of your disciples distributed a book to me. So up until 2 years ago, I didn't know what a devotee was or what the Hare Krishna movement was, but I received the book Dharma, Way of Transcendence, and soon after that I moved into the temple in Columbus, and now I'm constantly still thinking about Sanskrit education.
Thank you very much.
he's a good book distributor.
I think you are thinking about Krishna's sense gratification.
He's got really nice tilak.
I'm Jai Das. I came here from Croatia.
Pretty well.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, my name is Bhakti Josh. I've been here about 8 months, and I think I do my service in Govinda's restaurant.
Speak loud so everyone may hear me.
I used to lift weights a lot, and I was in my friend's basement. I just barely got out of the Job Corps, and I was lifting weights, and I was thinking about God and just like the whole like reality of everything. I was frustrated about all different kinds of religion because I was looking into all different kinds of religion, and I slammed the bar down really hard, and all the stuff came tumbling down from above the Bhagavad Gita. Fell off the shelf that had been sitting there for, I think, about 10 years. And it just, like, kind of, like, fell, like, came above me, and I saw it, and I caught it. And I caught it in my hands, and I was like, wow, this is a sign. Just from the picture of it, I just could tell that it was a book of knowledge, and it was what I was looking for. So I read it, and then it was exactly what I was looking for. So.
This is a glorious story.
Thank you.
Shiva, my dad sent me here a month ago to do books with the famous Sankhya devotees. I've been here for a month now, living in ashram.
His father's Tamopa.
Yes.
Dr. Bobby, I first met one devotee at LAX Airport a little over a year ago, and I just moved into the ashram 2 months ago. I go to LAX Airport on Sundays for Sankirtan, and once a week, and I'm going to start going 2 days a week. And other than that, I do service in the kitchen.
I used to live here, so I live with a friend, I'm coming, and I try to live in my own.
Where do you live?
I live with a friend, like
just close by?
5 minutes away or so. Mm-hmm. Come by here, hopefully once a week.
How many children do you have?
We have three.
This is one.
Prahlad's the oldest.
Prahlad?
He named Prahlad. He named all three of them. And then there's my four.
Stalwart. Stalwart Brahmachari.
Please give him your blessings.
I'm expecting him to give me blessings.
I'm Bhakti Dan. I do market research consulting as my profession right now. I've been coming to the temple for about 8 years and moved in about 2 years ago. And every once in a while I do a little service.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm Harish. I'm a software consultant, and I've been visiting for the past 5 months here. And I've been working in the Bay Area and visit the temple on the weekends. And I joined the movement in New Zealand about 2 years back. I got a book from one of the devotees, and they invited me for the Sunday feast. And I went in for the feast, and after that I was pretty right almost every day. And 6 weeks later I moved into the ashram with them, and I was learning from the devotees.
Thank you.
Bhakti Das, and I do book distribution. And I'm very glad I came tonight, because I needed this. I was just thinking earlier today that I distributed the airport, and I'm glad I've been working in Terminal 1, and there's five Muslim guys there. And there's sort of, I don't know if you call them black Muslims, but you know, they're all black guys, and they're Muslims. They just sort of newly became Muslims. And even though the competition, actually, they're nice guys. I like them. And I was actually just thinking, really, today I was thinking, boy, you know, without even half trying, I could become closer buddies with these guys than I am with most of the devotees at the temple who I, you know for 5 years that I've been here. And I was thinking, there's definitely some room there. You know, I mean, like, I knew that. I could feel it. But, you know, with just 5 minutes yucking around with these guys, I could become closer friends, feel like I was closer friends with them than the devotees around the temple. So I thought, well, I didn't come to any conclusion, but I was thinking, man, there's something wrong with it. So anyway, I'm glad I came tonight, because I lived in the next building here, and I wasn't going to come. But I heard the chanting, and something just practically pulled me out of my room. I just had to, you know, I just kind of, I practically had no control over it. I just got pulled out of my room, and I had to come. And I'm glad I did, because, you know, for me, this kind of thing is important. It's nice to have friends. Like you were saying last night in your class about how the culture facilitates the philosophy. And so this is the culture for me. I think it's important to be executing devotional service in the association of the devotees, which means, like, you know, being with people who you know and you like, and you know you feel like that you're friends, like Jagaranga, he's my good buddy, keeps me going. And anyway,
he keeps all of us going.
I'm really glad I came. I think this is important. It's one thing I liked about Australia, that even though I'm an American, I think I had bad karma with Americans or something like that. When I went to Australia, I just felt really kind of like, you know, everybody, like, I felt befriended, and it was real easy to, you know, just get, you know, be with the devotees, get along with everybody. They yuck it up a lot, and that just, you know, made it easy for you to be a devotee and be happy as a devotee. So anyway, I'm glad this sort of thing is going on, and I'm very glad I came to that.
You are honest. Thank you.
The number one book distributor in North America.
Please give him your blessings.
We went out on Sankirtan together in Radha Damodar days, and he noticed, you know, we were passing out candy canes at that time doing the books, and he noticed that I was used to eat the candy canes, hundreds of candy canes. So he came to me and he said, I thought those candy canes, you were supposed to pass them out to people. But he was seriously concerned about my consciousness, because I was eating these. I started eating a lot of the candy. So I know he's watching over me and protecting me.
Thank you very much.
My name is Anjanu Jadas. I've been doing traveling Sankirtan almost 10 years. And we'll be going to plan to go to Vrindavan for the first party. So I would be happy to, if you have any suggestions.
We can discuss after.
My name is Gauri Chandra Das, and I'm just a temple mouse looking for some crumbs. Thank you for your association.
What service do you do?
I work in the BBT.
You have super excellent classes. Prabhupada with this little computer, and finds all Prabhupada's sayings on certain topics and goes into Prabhupada's books really nicely.
Thank you.
ideas I have as I make Prabhupada's garments for this week.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
My name is Terrence. From Tulsa, Oklahoma. Came here to join the movement and remove myself from the religious background of Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, to try to learn absolute truth.
Thank you,
Prabhu. My name is Ian. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. Devotees encouraged me and helped set me up at the plane and everything to come down here with the association with the elder devotees and Maharaj. So I've come here not knowing really what I'm supposed to be here for, but I've been enjoying myself.
When I was in Phoenix, his mother came for the program. Very pious lady. Hari Hari.
My name is Bhakti Siddhanta Swami. We joined in San Diego due to your association. We spent many years in New Vrindavan. Then we've been traveling under Devamita Swami throughout the Orient in Australasia. It seems that Krishna's brought us full circle to come serve the devotees at New Dwarka. So
you'll be staying here now?
6 to 8 months a year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Welcome. We might as well tell you, this program was actually set up to welcome you. It's wonderful. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj is a very, very sincere Vaishnava, a very accomplished preacher. It's a great blessing to the community that Krishna has sent him. Everyone is introducing themselves. Where are you living now?
We're in Alachua.
So you're in Alachua. Wonderful community. When did you move there?
Just 5 weeks ago.
Before that?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Well, suburbs. That's 2 hours away.
You were going to school?
My wife is finishing university. Is now teaching at the charter school in Florida. The government is funding devotee teachers to teach, basically.
So how can I serve you? Think of anything. Use your creative imagination. I'm very happy to be here at New Dwarka. It's really a very special community of devotees. The most well-attended, enthusiastic Mangal Aartis I've seen anywhere in America. the world. It's one of the most in the world. That's all I can say. When Prabhupada established New Dwarka, it was such a gratifying and fulfilling blessing of Krishna. Los Angeles is one of the most influential, important cities in the whole planet. To have a center here for Krishna consciousness was so very important and meaningful to Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, he made it his national headquarters. When Srila Prabhupada first met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, 1 Ultadunga Junction Road in Calcutta, he was given the instruction that he should teach the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language all over the world. That very day, Prabhupada took that message as his life and soul. And his whole life he prepared himself to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. It wasn't until about 10 years later that he took formal initiation from his Guru Maharaj at the Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math in Allahabad, which is close to the confluence of the Ganges, the Jamuna, and the Saraswati. Prabhupada, not long before that, went to Vrindavan to join Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for his Braj Mandala Parikrama. There was actually thousands of people that were following Srila Saraswati Thakur all around Braja. Every night they would set up like an entire civilization with camps and tents and lanterns and cooking places for everyone to respond to nature. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would lecture, and the next day they would all start walking. One team of very dedicated devotees would just take everything for thousands of people, living facilities, and break it down and then go to the next place and set it up, waiting for them to arrive at night. So when they were in Koshi, Srila Prabhupada, he joined them. He came from Allahabad where he was doing his occupation. And while in Koshi, he went to hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur preach. It was announced by one of the senior sannyasis. Hare Krishna, thank you. That we're having parikrama this evening, going to the Sheshashayi Vishnu Temple. Very important place in Brahmandala. And everybody who wants to come should come just now. And also, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur will be giving a lecture at the same time. So practically everybody left to go to see Sheshashayi Vishnu. So Prabhupada was thinking in his mind, he told us this, that how will I see Sheshashayi Vishnu? Better I come and hear my Guru Maharaj speak. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke for hours and hours. And people were there. Not very many. Mostly the handful of very, very serious disciples. And as he was preaching, many people had other duties, so they were going here and there and coming back and leaving. And Prabhupada just sat and listened. He even said, I couldn't understand everything my Guru Maharaj was saying. He was speaking very high topics sometimes, philosophy. But I just stayed and I listened. And the next morning, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left that place to travel for some other preaching area. So Srila Prabhupada went back to Allahabad, and he would help with the temple there, in Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math. It's called Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math because it was at Prayag that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Rupa Goswami his teachings. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami were chief ministers of the government of the Nawab Husain Shah, who was the king of Bengal. And literally, they were so proficient and so responsible that the Nawab Husain Shah, out of gratitude to them, he literally divided his kingdom and gave them beautiful properties. He built them exquisite palaces, beautiful gardens. Each of them had their own lake to bathe in. But they were dissatisfied because they could not tolerate the fact that they were serving a man who had wicked motives. They wanted to directly serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything they did. Thus they sent repeated letters to Lord Chaitanya explaining their predicament and praying to him, please give us some instruction. What should we do in this situation? But Lord Chaitanya did not write back until one time, finally, they received a reply. It was only one sentence. Just as a woman who was attached to another man other than her husband will serve her husband very, very carefully so he does not detect. So they were very intelligent. They understood that they should just continue serving the Nawab Husain Shah but keep their minds always on Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya came specifically to Ramakeli just to deliver them. When he was there, he had big, big kirtan with hundreds and thousands of people. And the Nawab Husain Shah, his palace was right there. And he was notorious for persecuting anyone who practiced any other religion than Islam publicly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just came right into his town dancing and chanting in ecstasy with dozens of mridangas and kartals. And then Nawab Husain Shah, he heard about this. He heard about the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the glory of his dancing. His ministers were coming and telling him that this prophet has come and he has millions of people with him and they're all dancing and chanting. So the Nawab Husain Shah called one of his very close associates who happened to be a Hindu. He said, tell me about who is this prophet that has come, this Chaitanya that I'm hearing about. And the person was thinking, if I tell him that he's such a great, glorious person with millions of followers, then Nawab Husain Shah may send his armies to harm him. So he said, actually, what you heard is not correct. He's just a simple sannyasi beggar. And he has a few followers, and he's just going around begging alms, that's all. And Nawab Husain Shah, what kind of aparad are you committing to him? He's the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the absolute truth. He's come to deliver the whole world, and you're calling him a mendicant and a beggar? This is an offense. He said, I have to pay people so much money to follow me. I have to rule people with the sword. And all he's doing is dancing and chanting, and there's millions of people who are willing to surrender their lives and do anything for him. He said, this Swamiji, he can do anything he wants. He can have his kirtan and perform his preaching anywhere and in any way here in my city of Ramakirti. We are very, very happy. And the devotees heard about this. They became very happy. But Rupa and Sanatan, they didn't trust Nawab Hussain Shah, because they knew he was a man who was attached to sense gratification. He could change his mind at any time. So when Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan, they came and approached him under a kadamba tree. Have any of you been to Ramakeli? There's a kadamba tree and a tamal tree. Tamal represents Krishna and kadamba represents Srimati Radharani. They're right beside each other. And he was sitting under those trees. And there, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam, their younger brother, who were then Dabir Kas Sakar Malik, they approached the Lord. And they fell at his lotus feet and exhibited the ultimate expression of humility and surrender. They declared themselves to be the most fallen, the most sinful, the most wretched, more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. Because even though Jagai and Madhai were addicted to every kind of sinful activity, they never served wicked men. But we are a servant of a wicked man. Therefore, we are more fallen, more degraded than Jagai and Madhai. To deliver Jagai and Madhai was not so difficult for you, my lord. Because after all, they were originally Brahmins from Navadvip. But you are Patita Pavana. You're the deliverer of the most fallen. And your name will actually serve its true purpose when you deliver us. Because we are the most fallen. For us to hope for your mercy is like a small dwarf to touch the moon with his finger. But still, we have no other hope. So please give us the shelter of your lotus. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to cry. He said, please stop. Your humility is breaking my heart. He lifted them up and embraced them. He said, actually, I came here to Ramakeli only for the purpose of delivering you. He gave them the names Rupa and Sanatana and placed his lotus feet on their heads. And he actually gave them blessings that they could leave their occupation and meet him in Vrindavan, where he was going. Sanatan Goswami told him that for you to go to Vrindavan with so many millions of people will not be happy for you. You should go alone or with one or two others. Vrindavan is a secluded place. In those days, Vrindavan was simply a forest with little villages. There was no Loi Bazaar. I was shocked. When was it? I first went to Vrindavan in 1971. And I was the only foreigner there. There was no ISKCON, no white people. There was one other that would sometimes be there, Asim Krishna Prabhu. And it was so much like a forest. It was very peaceful. And recently I went, just a couple months ago, and as I was approaching Vrindavan, on the Mathura Vrindavan Road, there was a big billboard that said, shop at www.vrindavan.com. Very well. But anyways, when Rupa and Sanatan were telling Lord Chaitanya, they say, it's just a forest. There wasn't even any temples there, hardly. So Lord Chaitanya, he left the next morning, and he went to a place called Kanai Natashala. And there, beautiful forest. Kanai Natashala actually is a replica of Vrindavan. It's a very holy place. In Chaitanya Lila, it said that that's the first place that Lord Chaitanya had darshan of Krishna and merged himself in separation from Krishna. That was just after he took initiation. So in Kanai Natashala, Lord Chaitanya was seeing this beautiful forest with kadamba trees and tamal trees, bakula trees, banyan trees. And there were millions of people, and they were trampling on everything. And he was thinking, what Sanatana Goswami said is correct. To go to Vrindavan with all these people, I will not really be able to experience the solitude and the beauty of Vrindavan. So he got up and declared to the devotees, we will return to Puri. Then later on, with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, he went to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami, with his youngest brother Anupam, they retired from all their government services and put all their wealth on a boat, a lot of their wealth. They left their palaces, and beautiful lakes and gardens, but they took the wealth that could move on boat and divided it, giving half to the Vaishnavas for spreading Krishna consciousness and dividing the rest for their family and for emergencies. And part of that money he gave to Sanatan Goswami, who was in prison by the Nawab Hussain Shah. And then Rupa Goswami went with Anupam to meet Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan. On the way, they came to Prayag. Prayag is called Prayagraj. It's considered the king of holy places in many of the Puranas. It is the place where the Ganges and the Jamuna meet and become one. Jamuna begins at Jamunotri in the peaks of Himalayas. Ganges begins in Gangotri, peaks of the Himalayas, and they both travel for thousands of miles, and in Prayag they meet and become one river. And it is said that Saraswati River is an underground river that meets at that place also. So it is called Triveni. And every 12 years there is a Kumbh Mela at Triveni. And this January, beginning January 14th, will be the Maha Kumbh Mela. They're expecting 20 million people to attend. Hare Krishna. So Krishna is still the topmost drawer of crowds. So it was there that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was having a kirtan at the temple of Veni Madhava. That deity is still there. Have you seen? Not far from the Triveni is the Veni Madhava temple, a beautiful deity of Vishnu. Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing there with such love. It was there that Rupa and Anupam, they found out that Lord Chaitanya had already left Vrindavan. He was on his way back to Puri, and he was there at Prayag. offer their obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. And they just watched from a distance his ecstatic, beautiful golden form dancing in love with Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya went to take prasad at someone's house. And Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they saw him from a distance and they offered their prostrated obeisances. And it was at that time, at Prayag, that Rupa Goswami composed that beautiful sloka. Namo Mahabhagavaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namo. That Krishna has appeared in a beautiful golden complexion. And in this incarnation, he is exhibiting more mercy and compassion than any other incarnation, because he is giving pure love of Krishna freely to anyone and everyone without discrimination. Lord Chaitanya then visited the house of Balabhubhat with Rupa and Anupam. And then he took Rupa Goswami to the Dashashvamedha Ghat. There Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat for 10 days and instructed Rupa Goswami in the science of devotional service. His instructions are summarized in the Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And after instructing Rupa Goswami, the Lord embraced him. And when the Lord embraced Rupa Goswami, he invested within the heart of Rupa Goswami his love and his realizations of Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna with the complexion and the devotion of Srimati Radharani, searching to understand what is the extent of the love of Sri Radha. And it was that love that was invested in the heart of Rupa Goswami. Later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami and others that when I saw that Rupa Goswami was so humble and prideless, he was such a suitable candidate, so sincere about Krishna consciousness, that I invested in his heart all of the knowledge and love of my heart. And I have empowered him to distribute that love to the world. So for 10 days, Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami at Prayag. Then he gave him the instruction, you go to Vrindavan, and with whatever I have told you, I have given you the essence, you expand it, and you write books, establishing bhakti as the highest principle of all knowledge. And that Krishna of Vrindavan is the highest deity to be worshipped. And that Sri Radharani is the ultimate object of veneration for all Vaishnavas. And you establish temples and deity worship. And with your own example, display the conduct of those in the renounced order of life. Teach the world properly. Bhakti, devotion, Krishna, the object of devotion. And what is the etiquette, the life, and the duties of a devotee? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued his travels to Pune, and Rupa Goswami went to Vrindavan. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he actually went to the very place where Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami at the Dashashvamedha Ghat, and he installed the footprints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that very site. It's a very, very, very holy place of pilgrimage for all of us. Because the seed of the knowledge of our whole sampradaya was imparted there at Prayag. And a little later, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a Gaudiya Math near the confluence of Jamuna and Ganges. And he called it the Rupa Goswami Gaudiya Math. Prabhupada heard that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was coming there to visit. And even he was going to give initiations. And Prabhupada was there to greet Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the temple president, he said to Srila Saraswati Thakur that this is Avaicharan. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he cut him off. He said, yes, I know him. He likes to hear. I have taken note of that. Others go away, but he does not go away. He likes to hear. I will initiate you. And he gave him first and second initiation at the same time. This was the special quality that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very pleased with Srila Prabhupada, that he did not go away, he liked to hear. I remember one time in 1976, Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan. Vijay Mataji knows all these stories very expertly. He was giving classes on the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And the first day he gave class, it was quite a long class. Most of the devotees were falling asleep. Yes, do you remember? New Vrindavan devotees were famous for falling asleep during Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, people thought if you're not falling asleep during Srimad Bhagavatam class, that means you're not working hard enough during the day. But then the next day he gave class about half as long. Because Prabhupada saw that we were not so eager to hear. But this eagerness to hear about Krishna is such a very, very important, essential element in the process of bhakti. So from Prayag, Srila Prabhupada held that mission for some time. Then he went to Bombay for his business purposes, and two of his very dear godbrothers, Bhakti Sharanga Goswami Maharaj and Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, they met him there because they were trying to start a temple. And they saw that Prabhupada, he was just such an enthusiastic preacher, and he had so many contacts just from being there for a short time. And he was arranging lectures, and he was arranging kirtans, and he was raising funds, and soon they had a Gaudiya Math, and they had deities. And they invited Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to come and install the deities. And these sannyasis, they said to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati that Abhay Charanaravinda, he's such a good preacher and such a good manager and so influential to people. And he does such nice kirtan. He should be the president of this math. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied, let him do what he is doing. He will do everything in due course of time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a prophecy. The last letter that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent to Srila Prabhupada gave the same instruction he gave him the first time. But actually before that, Srila Prabhupada went to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Radha Kurmut. Vaitakund is the holiest of all holy places in creation. Rupa Goswami writes that in the whole universe, the most holy place is this earth planet, because Krishna performs his lila so much here. And in the earth planet, Bharatvarsha, or India, is the holiest place. And in India, the holiest place is the Mathura Mandala. And in the Mathura Mandala, the holiest place is the forest of Vrindavan. In the forest of Vrindavan, the holiest place is Govardhan Hill. And in Govardhan Hill, the holiest of all holy places is Radha Kund. There is no holier place than Radha Kund. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur had Bhajan Kutir in a little house close to the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Prabhupada came there to meet him. Try to understand the spirit of the mercy and the compassion of these great personalities. The Babajis of Radha Kund, they very much like to boast that they will speak of nothing but the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. In the holiest of all holy places, Radha Kund is the liquid prema of Radharani manifested in that water. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed Prabhupada that if you ever get money, print books and distribute books. This instruction he was given at Radha Kund. So we can understand what a supremely elevated, transcendental service this is. This is the innermost desire of Srimati Radharani, manifesting through the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that spreading love of God, spreading the bhakti of Vrindavan through book distribution, is so very, very sacred and holy. It's an act of divine worship. Prabhupada took that order that he received at Radha Kund very deeply in his heart. Then, sometime later, he received that last letter. Prabhupada wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and said that most of your disciples are brahmacharis and sannyasis, and they're full-time doing so much service for you. I'm a grihastha with children and family and job and everything. How can I best serve you? And he wrote back and said that you should take the message of Lord Chaitanya and spread it throughout the world in the English language. And soon after that, he left this world. Srila Prabhupada, to fulfill that aim, any symbolism to this call? It's the Devata saying that I talk too much. I went to Jhansi and tried to start a movement there. Worked hard for a year. Actually was developing some nice progress. And then some people came and took the building away from him and took everything away from him. And he had nothing to show for anything he did. But he pleased Krishna. He pleased his Guru Maharaj. We can never judge anything by how it appears. Krishna has his internal plan. It's not that we can never judge, but we have to be very careful how we analyze reality. Because in devotional service, Krishna's mercy is behind everything that takes place in our lives. There's a message, there's a lesson, there's an opportunity for purification and surrender. Prabhupada went to Vrindavan and later took sannyas. And it was interesting. Satsarupa Maharaj described so nicely in Prabhupada Lilamrita how when Prabhupada was sitting around the fire to take sannyas, his sannyas guru, Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj, asked Prabhupada to give a lecture. Have you ever seen this before? Where one of the initiates are asked to give a lecture for their own initiation? And there was only the, it was not advertised, this initiation, so there was only the inmates of the Gaudiya Math of that particular locality that were present. And there was only two or three of them that spoke English. All the others spoke only Bengali and Hindi. But Prabhupada gave his lecture in English. Why? Because the reason he was taking sannyas was to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj, to preach Krishna consciousness in English all over the world. And after he finished the three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, he decided, now I have some books to be a foundation for our preaching to the West. How is he going to get to the West? He had one friend from Mathura who had a son who wasn't even a religious person to somehow give a sponsorship letter to Prabhupada. And then he went to Bombay. He met Sumati Maharaji and said, please give me a passage to America, New York, on your steamship, cargo ship. She said, Swamiji, no, I will not give you. You're too old, you will die. And then he actually got some people to donate half the price of a ticket on the cargo ship. And he asked her to give the other half. She said, no, I will not give the other half, you will die. And he had no means of even making that money. He was really, really poor financially. He had nothing. And I believe he sat on a step, her office, and vowed not to leave until she gave him a ticket. So she gave him a ticket. And he went to Calcutta. That's where the journey of the Jaladuta was beginning, from Calcutta. And somebody who calls me regularly is Prabhupada's son. His name is Vrindavan Chandra Day, his youngest son. I think Prabhupada had four children, two sons and two daughters. Harival Prabhu. Thank you for coming. So Vrindavan Chandra Day, recently he came to our temple in Bombay with his family, and he was telling stories about Srila Prabhupada. And he told me that he went to the docks to see his father off on the Jaladuta. There was only a couple people that went. He was one of them. Prabhupada was leaving India as the ambassador of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to the world. was only, I think, just like two devotees and his son that we're seeing tomorrow. And he was going in a cargo ship, which are never comfortable for passengers. And he told me his father blessed him to be Krishna conscious. And then he started walking up that old wooden
plank
to get up to the ship with a cane in his hand. Umbrella. He had an umbrella. And I asked Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, I said, what were you thinking when your father was walking up that plank on his way to New York, and you knew he didn't have any money, and you knew he didn't know anybody in New York to help him? What was in your heart when you were watching your father? Would you like to know?
Yeah.
his eyes lit up, his face lit up, and he said, I was proud of my father. It was history, all arranged by Krishna. At the Atlantic Ocean, Prabhupada celebrated his 70th birthday, all alone. No Vyas Puja, no offerings of flowers, no prasad, no birthday cakes. It was a very lonely birthday. He celebrated Janmashtami. He was cooking kachoris for all the shipmates, distributing it. He gave a little lecture about Krishna. And then when they entered into the middle of Atlantic Ocean, there was terrible storms. Srila Prabhupada had several heart attacks, seasickness, dizziness. He was immobile. If you've seen the photocopies of Prabhupada's original diary, he was writing down something every day. During those days of the heart attack, you just see there's just a jagged-looking line just going through all those days. He couldn't even write. And he was certain that if something didn't change, he would not survive. And then he had that historical vision where he saw Krishna with all of his incarnations on a boat, taking control of the ship, assuring him that he will have a safe passage. And after that vision, the Atlantic Ocean became so peaceful that the captain, Pandey, he said, the Atlantic Ocean has never been so calm and peaceful in all the years he was sailing. Before getting off the boat, Prabhupada was very particular to sell a set of Srimad Bhagavatams to Captain Pandey. Then he was picked up by, of course, he brought those beautiful prayers of pure devotion and humility, beseeching Krishna to empower him to preach this message to the world. Let me be your puppet, O Krishna, and let me dance as you like me to dance. And a stranger met him when he came off the ship and brought him to Butler, Pennsylvania. Let's put him on a bus alone. Put him on a bus alone where he traveled across hundreds and hundreds of miles of America to Butler, Pennsylvania. Have any of you ever been to Butler, Pennsylvania? You've been? It's not a very impressive place. It's not at all the kind of place you would expect Prabhupada to begin his mission. But there he just lived in a house with some very, very materialistic people. And he was just the kindest, gentlest, most loving man that they ever met in their life. It's interesting to study how Prabhupada lived and related to people in different situations. He didn't impose the philosophy upon them. He was their guest. So he just acted as the most gracious guest. And he would preach, but he would preach in such a way that they were never disturbed, they were never challenged by him. He just made them love him just by his gentle, loving qualities. And one time there was a major breakthrough. He was invited to give a lecture to a bunch of old men and women at the YMCA. Very well. If you or me got a program like that, we would think we would be completely despondent. We don't really hear that anybody was very receptive. But he preached. It was his first lecture in America. In the English language. But somehow or other, Krishna has his plan. There was a newspaper article about his lecture, because it was the most unusual thing in the world for an Indian Swamiji to be preached, to be giving a lecture in the YMCA of Butler, Pennsylvania. He gave a lecture in Los Angeles. It wouldn't have made the newspapers. Butler, Pennsylvania was quite extraordinary. So this newspaper was called Butler Eagle. And one professor from a nearby college named Professor Larson, he happened to see the article. And he was a teacher of religion and philosophy at Slippery Rock State College. Any of you ever been to Slippery Rock State? It's not the most famous university in the world, by any means. It's a small college, just a couple thousand people. Many, many years later, in about 1980 or 81, I was calling different colleges, setting up college lectures. And I didn't know who I would. I would just call a college and say, I'm interested in studying sociology, religion, and philosophy, and history, and art. Can you tell me all the teachers in those departments? And I'd write down the teachers and their phone numbers. And then I'd call each and every one of them and say that we're offering a wonderful facility for you as a professor that will come in and give a lecture on Vedic culture and Indian religion and philosophy. And if it was a sociology class, we'd say we'd speak about the sociology of India and Vedic culture. And if it was history, we'd say we'll give a lecture on the history of Indian culture and Vedic philosophy. And if it was philosophy, we're going to give a lecture on the philosophy of. Anyways, we would just suit it. Ultimately, we'd give the same lecture in all the classes. And so many professors, most of them, they'd say, well, if they didn't say no immediately, we'd say, well, let me come to your office to meet you. And once you go to their office, they usually accept it. So I talked to this one professor, because Prabhupada Lilamrita, I didn't know anything of it, wasn't really, I didn't remember anything. I don't remember if it was out or not at that time. But I called, and one professor at Slippery Rock State College, he said, "Are you the Hare Krishna movement?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh, Swamiji is a very good friend of mine."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh, you know Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "Prabhupada? I heard his name is something like Prabhupada, but I know him as Swamiji."
Mm-hmm.
He said, I invited him to my class. My name is Professor Larson."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'd love to have you come. Please come."
Mm-hmm.
So he had me speak in all six of his classes for 2 days in a row, he and Professor Sharma both. And one, he was giving me a tour of the places Prabhupada went. And one place he took me was a garden. It was actually the campus lawn. Students sit. And he said, "I'll take you to the place where we sat for a long time and talked." And he brought me to this bench that looked exactly like a Vyasasana. It was made out of stone. But it had these beautiful ornate legs, and then it had a nice carved bench, and then there was a back on it that looked like a lotus arch. So we sat together, and I asked him, "What did Prabhupada discuss with you when you were sitting together?" And he said, "You see that tree right there?" I said, "Yes, I'm looking at the tree." He said, "Prabhupada asked me, what kind of tree is that?" "This is oak tree." Prabhupada asked, "Does it give fruit? Does it give flowers?" And then he asked, "What kind of tree?" And he was talking, asking him all about trees. And in this way, he got Professor Larson really involved in talking about trees. And then Prabhupada started explaining the different kinds of trees in Vrindavan and the kinds of flowers and fruits that they give. And then he started talking about how Krishna would do these things under different trees. And he was very expert at entering into conversations that would lead a person to Krishna Katha.
Mm.
And I said, "Do you remember anything else?" He said, "I remember one thing. He was such a simple, humble person. He was so gentle, so kind. Please tell me," he asked, "whatever happened to the Hare Krishna movement?" And I told him this. By the time Prabhupada left his body, there was over 100 temples, millions of books distributed, 40 different books were translated and published, tens and thousands of devotees. Professor Larson said, "Impossible. Prabhupada was such a gentle, quiet scholar. He could have never done this. Somebody else must have done it for him." He said he would just sit there and pray on his beads. He said he would just pray on his beads. He was shocked to hear what Prabhupada had done. Then I asked him, "What else happened?" He said, "One other thing. He told me I had to buy his books." He said, you must buy these books and you must put them in your library." So Prabhupada sold me a set of 3 books. I said, "Do you still have those books?" He said, "I put them in the library." This was in 1965. So I went to the library after talking to him. And as soon as I walked in the library, I just looked forward and I just saw there was a light coming from a certain section, and I immediately saw the 3 Bhagavatams. It was quite a big library. So I went over there and it was very historical. It was one of the first sets of Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada personally distributed with his own hands. first books that ever reached a college in America. And I opened up the cover, and it crackled as it was a brand new book. And I looked inside, and the library card was there, and it was said 1965, the date that it was put in the library, and not a single person took out the book in all those years. This was 1981. And that was the same for all three of them. So I was thinking that if they're not using these books, someone should get these books. So being trying to be an honest person, I went to some people we were preaching to nearby and told them to get a library card from Superior Rock State College and take out the books. So they took out the books. And then we got a brand new edition of the first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, I think published in the 80s or the late 70s, with all nice illustrations. And I brought those books to the, I had the people bring those books to the library and told them, actually, they brought both sets, that these are very old sets, they don't have any illustrations, but because we're so much interested in your educational institution, we want you to have the best books of our Guru Maharaj. So these books here have illustrations and nice covers, so can we trade? And the librarian said, oh, this is very nice, you are so charitable, do we have to pay you something extra? No, no, no. Prabhupada was not satisfied preaching in Butler, Pennsylvania. So he left the comforts of that house to live in the Bowery of New York. There. It's interesting, Dr. Mishra was helping Prabhupada in one sense by just giving him a facility to preach in his yoga ashram. But it is said that Dr. Mishra was a Mayavadi, and he and Prabhupada would have these intense debates. Because Prabhupada would just preach the Vaishnava philosophy, and Dr. Mishra was just retaliating with Mayavad philosophy. When Dr. Mishra got sick, he was very, very sick, Srila Prabhupada personally cooked for him and nursed him to health with such love and care, like a mother and a father. And Dr. Mishra said many times after that Swamiji's loving motherly care and his cooking actually saved my life when I needed him the most. So on a philosophical level, Prabhupada was arguing with him, saying he's all nonsense. But on a personal level, he was very compassionate, serving him and caring for him. The activities in the heart of a pure Vaishnava is very deep, very, very. Then Prabhupada met His Holiness Mukunda Maharaj. And Mukunda Maharaj was one of the first people to actually help Srila Prabhupada. He helped him to obtain 26 Second Avenue. So it's very, very important that we gain a very deep understanding and appreciation of Srila Prabhupada's life. Because factually, it was his compassion, his dedication, his determination, he his unlimited willingness to sacrifice that has made the whole Western world eligible to receive Krishna's mercy. And that is a fact. Prabhupada would sometimes say that he shed buckets of blood to make each person a devotee. Buckets of blood to establish this mission. So when people talk about higher gurus and lower gurus and everything like that, what do we care what is higher or lower? All we know is Prabhupada saved us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to compete. We're satisfied because we know that it was his compassion, it was his sacrifice, which nobody else would have or could have executed, that has given us the gift of bhakti. And the more we really understand this and realize this in our hearts, the more truly and deeply dedicated we become to assisting Srila Prabhupada in whatever way we possibly can. In this life, and hopefully in all future lives. Do you remember Hayagriva Prabhu? We have many varieties of memories of Hayagriva Prabhu. When he was on his deathbed, he was weeping, he was crying, and telling me that I don't regret that I'm suffering from cancer of the spine. I don't regret that my whole body is racked with pain. I do not regret that I'm going to die at any moment. But I have one regret. In my life, I could have done so much for Srila Prabhupada. But due to my weak-heartedness, I didn't do what I could have done to serve him. That is the only regret of my life. I broke down weeping. Because he understood and he appreciated. So time is so valuable. Here at New Dwarka, Prabhupada's national headquarters, was one of his very special sitting places. How many hundreds of lectures, how many thousands of people he preached to here in LA. We're very fortunate to be here. And problems will always be. But actually, the more there are problems, the more we should think, the best thing I can do for Prabhupada is in my own way, with my own capacity, by my own example, to try to help solve the problems. Purity is the force. We chant together, take prasad together, hear Harikatha together, and serve one another. We were discussing Rupa Goswami. He explains the six loving exchanges amongst Vaishnavas. The nectar of instruction, those first verses especially, are essential. Without understanding those and trying to apply them to our life, we cannot make proper advancement in spirituality. Prabhupada explained, these are the basics to avoid the six reasons for fall downs, to embrace the six reasons, the six items that help us make spiritual progress, and to practice and share the six ways of developing loving relations with Vaishnavas, it's not optional. It's essential if we want to actually grasp the true meaning of Krishna consciousness. And if we simply wholeheartedly take to these principles, what an immense contribution we can make in our life to the most noble mission of Srila Prabhupada. So my closing words are thank you very much.
Thank you.
For tolerating me once again. And please do try to work very sincerely together to make New Dwarka such a vibrant spiritual community that anyone who comes in contact with it, their hearts are transformed. We should treat each other and deal with each other in such a way that every devotee just loves to be here and loves to serve here. That should be our goal. It shouldn't be that our senior most devotees would rather hang out with Muslims than come back and be with devotees. That when somebody of his stature is saying like that, that's a very loud message for us to hear, take seriously. It should actually be our number one priority to see to it that each devotee here is happy in Krishna consciousness, satisfied being a devotee here. Otherwise, we'll distribute millions of books and people will come here and say, and they'll say, I like to read your books. But it doesn't seem like it's a very practical philosophy to follow. If the devotees who are following it don't even like to be with each other. People are looking for peace and unity. They're looking for love. And that's what bhakti is all about. So if we to learn to respect, honor, care for, and reciprocate affection and service with the devotees in our community should be seen as one of our priorities in life. Book distributors should be confident that if this person reads this book, he'll come to New Dwarka, and once he's there, his life will never be the same. In a positive way. Never be the same. Let him read these books, let him come, and let him see them. The purpose of the temple is to demonstrate visually through life the culture of what's in the books. And actually, I'm speaking of temples all over the world. We'll never know how many, perhaps tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people who are intelligent, have read Srila Prabhupada's books, who have developed a certain degree of conviction, who actually want to follow, who want to be devotees. But because they're intelligent people, they want to see how the devotees are living, how they're dealing with one another, how they're treating their children, how they're treating their old. They're intelligent people. They want to see If this is a real philosophy that's practical, I want to see it. And then they come to our temples and they see that the guests are treated great, but the devotees don't treat each other very well at all. They see people feeling suppressed, depressed, neglected, lonely. And they don't say anything to anyone. They just come, they examine for some time. They may come 2-3 times, they just watch. Then they leave and they never come back. They may continue reading, or they may say, well, it's a good theory. And they put the book on their shelf. How many people will never know? But if we have a united community, united on the basis of Krishna conscious culture, which isn't something very foreign. It just means being the servant of the servant of the servant. But it actually means that. Being the servant of the servant of the servant means to please each other. One of your greatest responsibilities is everyone around you, that you act in such a way that they find a fulfillment in living a life of Krishna consciousness. If a person is willing to give up so much to serve Prabhupada's mission, they deserve to be happy doing it. And it should be our goal to make them happy. And if we do that, Who could resist the mercy of Prabhupada coming through such a wonderful vessel? So I thank you very much for being so honest. Yes?
I think most of the young devotees, they really, you know, they're really totally innocent. They don't, as far as etiquette is concerned, they really just don't know. It's a matter of training. You know, I've watched so many devotees come through here, you know, over the last 10 years that I've been here. And, you know, they watch their superiors, you know, mostly the Prabhupada disciples or the leaders of the elder devotees, how they deal with each other. And I think example is stronger than precept, you know, is that so much philosophy is being spoken in the classes and so many things like that, but basically it's the impression, you know, that they leave of how, you know, how everyone deals with each other. And a lot of the elder Prabhupada disciples are like alienated because for one reason or another, you know, the ones that are in charge or in positions don't you know, reach out to try to make some attempt to feel that, you know, their own god brothers are needed. So you kind of have like a majority of like newer devotees or non-Prabhupada disciples and a few elder ones in the top. It's kind of like a third world country. There's a vast dichotomy. There's no like real middle class. It's kind of more like new devotees and slightly older devotees and stuff like that, and then it breaks off at that point, and then you have the few, you know, Prabhupada disciples or old timers that are around that are in charge. And I don't know what to say about that, but I think some more value can be placed, you know, on these Prabhupada disciples. If we're talking about Prabhupada all the time and glorifying him, he's certainly his disciples are actually the most, you know, valuable commodity that he has produced. I mean, aside from printing the books and you know, I mean, these are like living seeds, you know, that he's cultivated. And just because, you know, they're obviously not all brahmacharis, they're not obviously going to be, you know, in the groove, you know, regimented 100% into the program as the brahmacharis are into the program. They may in the past have probably gone through that, but they were very regimented, and a lot of them aren't as regimented and as disciplined, you know, now. But it doesn't mean that they don't have any value. And it personally, you know, grieves me that so little value is being placed on so many of the thousands of Prabhupada disciples that are left, you know, that are just, you know, out there in the world at large, and nothing is being done to try to make some attempt to bring them back or to give them some service or facility or something to involve them a little bit more.
What I see is, this is a wonderful community, and the leadership of this community is really, really earnestly and honestly trying in so many wonderful ways to serve Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. I really appreciate the leadership of New Dwarka. I think it's one of the nicest organized temples and managed temples in our society, especially in the Western world. But what you're speaking of is a very, very, it's a very difficult subject. A few leaders here.
No, well, I wasn't speaking of leaders here.
Let me speak.
Sure.
A few leaders, they have their hands full. What it really takes is people like you and me to actually step forward and try to do something very positive. If all the Prabhupada disciples expect a couple leaders to do something wonderful, to approach them, they don't have the time, they don't have the energy. We have to do something together. When I was in England, there were some Prabhupada disciples who invited me to a program just to complain about the leaders of the temple. And I said, you know how busy they are? You know what they have to deal with? How are they supposed to outreach to all of you? Why don't you, people in this room, start outreaching to other Prabhupada disciples? Something wonderful could happen then. And they all said, yes, yes, that's what we should do. So we have to all be doing what we can do. We have to take it upon ourselves. Prabhupada disciples that come here, in giving we receive. We should try to be encouraging them. We should be trying to outreach to them.
I agree 100%.
We can't just be waiting for the managers, because the managers have taken on such incredible, immense burden of responsibility to maintain these temples. We can't expect them to do all these things. And I'm sure they'll be ecstatically happy to encourage other people to do it if they're willing to do it. This is a very special community. You're all very fortunate. But at the same time, we should know there is so much more that we could all be doing. If we really, really worked internally on developing the quality of the community, how effulgent and how attractive it could be potentially. And that holds true everywhere. Well, I really appreciate what you spoke, but I'm
just trying to be honest. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make any offenses.
No,
I certainly wasn't singling out any leaders here, because this temple is like the best managed temple, you know, at least in the United States. I haven't seen any others, but
we should really appreciate, and we should try to assist. We should try to help.
I'm just thinking what we can do, not only for the Prabhupada disciples, but even, you know, anybody. They're mostly young people come, something to encourage people that are a little, you know, also more mature, not only new people, but also, you know, people of other age groups to come. But, you know, I guess the movement has always been spread because
you remember how Prabhupada would deal with people who had such suggestions.
He'd say, go out and do something yourself.
He'd say, do it. You had an inspiration, now you do it.
Go, you do something better. And then you
Prabhupada didn't like people who talked. He liked people who walked. Someone had an idea or a complaint, Prabhupada said, then you do it. Someone said that this person should do this, this, and this. You say, you should do this. You have the inspiration. You have the realization. So we should all be doing it. We should all be doing it.
Well, I'd just like to say you're very encouraging to your
You're very encouraging to me.
I see a good example not to be. But, no, you really are, and I do really appreciate, you know, the fact that you do try to maintain friendly relationship and do show genuine appreciation for devotees,
we're
which
one
is
of my oldest friends. I have known,
but you do that with everyone.
I have known Ganga Narayan Prabhu with different names since 1968. Very well. Still, he's merciful.
No mercy
is a great wonder. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. What is this?
I had one originally, but I guess it comes from your hand.
No, this is what you're giving me.
No.